This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring retired FBI special agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
Well, there's supposed to be another Alec Murdaugh trial happening very soon. The case of Gloria Satterfield and the money that Alec Murdaugh basically pilfered from that family and insurance claims after her death in the house of Alec Murdaugh, which by itself is a little bit suspicious. No criminal charges ever brought there. But will that trial happen, or when will it happen, I guess, is more the question. And who's going to be presiding over it? Alec Murdaugh's attorneys making that motion to say that we really think the judge needs to step down, especially with the connections and the allegations of jury tampering, and also some of the comments that Judge Clifton Newman has made on television, in media, after the actual murder trial itself. Let's start there. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, about Judge Clifton Newman. I thought he was a great judge. I think most people felt the same way. Very fair, very transparent from what we are aware of. But we are talking now, still more charges, the possibility of another murder trial for Alec Murdaugh, if we do in fact find out that there was jury tampering going on, and the clerk of court being his clerk of court, Rebecca Hill. Is this something where maybe we should just say, look, Judge Clifton Newman, it's time to recuse yourself on this one just for the optics or appellate issues down the road?
Well, I concur with you. Judge Newman was fantastic. He's the type of judge that you want presiding over any case, really. He seemed so fair, knowledgeable, really heard both sides before making any ruling. I was very fair on his rulings. He was just amazing. So having said that, he shouldn't be on this with Satterfield. He shouldn't be on it because of what is swirling around with the clerk of court, because of the previous trial that took place. I should say, if the previous trial took place, I still don't have a problem. The problem lies with the clerk of court issue.
More so than comments that he's made since on the Today Show, even in the courtroom himself. We clearly know his thoughts on Alec Murdaugh, as most of ours probably agree that it's a very sad individual. He's a very sad individual, a very disturbed individual, and the guilt is very present there. But when you're a judge, you need to be impartial, and there are more cases he's assigned to preside over involving Alec Murdaugh. Is it solely the Rebecca Hill issue, or do you think some of those comments play a role as well in being impartial for any other charges?
I agree that, so first, the Rebecca Hill thing to me is just the, again, a no-brainer decision here. You can't have him presiding due to that issue. But just say there wasn't that issue and it was just comments made on the bench, which he made his feelings very clear there. And then, as you said, in other forms in the media, you have to be fair and impartial. Some people will argue that still it's fair and impartiality on the law, you know, that would be presented to him in the court and his decisions. Could he be able to rule on those questions that are asked despite his personal feelings toward Murdaugh?
Yeah.
I lean toward that this judge could, but why even have it out there for an appellate issue to transpire?
Yeah.
It's just, there's no reason to roll the dice on that, because at the end of the day, no matter what side you're on, you want justice to be served and you don't want an appellate issue to come up where it's overturned and now you're retrying everything all over again. So I think he should just recuse himself. Let's just make it easy. And I'm hoping he does. I think it'll tell a lot about him if he just recuses himself.
Sure, sure. And there's a lot of arguments being made right now, especially from the prosecution side. Rebecca Hill saying, I did not say those things. That is, they're not true. None of this actually happened. Most of the jurors have signed sworn affidavits with SLED saying, yeah, we didn't have any idea that any of this went on. We don't think that this took place. It certainly didn't affect our decision. But there are still a couple of jurors who have not done that. And I'm curious as to what their thoughts are going to be. If you have all of the jurors at the end of the day coming in here and saying, no, this didn't happen, Yeah, I mean, does he get a new trial? Because I'm assuming Jim Griffin and Harpootlin, they have something. They said that they have sworn affidavits from some people saying that, yes, this did, in fact, happen. Kind of a he said, she said thing. How do you get to the bottom of that to determine just how influential Becky Hill was or was not?
Well, from the get-go, when these allegations first came out, you know, my stance was, listen, we have not seen both sides of the pancake at all. Mm-hmm. We're seeing a very one-sided presentation from the defense counsel for Murdaugh, and we're seeing nothing yet from Becky Hill or from the prosecution side or from the other jurors. And this, I think, just needs to, they need to have a hearing. They need to put each juror under oath, and they need to be questioned by both sides. And, you know, the judge needs to obviously evaluate what he believes transpired and make a decision. Now, the question is, should it be this judge?
Yeah.
Because this judge is so close. I mean, your clerk of court, oh my God, they are so important and they're so tight with the judge where they work. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a cool, it's almost like a sister and brother or father and daughter relationship in all of these clerk of courts and judge relationships that I've seen throughout the year. They are who you go through, whether you're an agent, whether you're an attorney, you know, they handle everything for the court. And so I don't think Judge Newman, even though I think he is, you know, of the utmost moral standing, I just think it's a bad optic. Mm-hmm. And I think they should put another judge in charge of actually listening to the evidence that will come out from all the jurors after they're interviewed, and then make a determination. And if that determination is this is a bunch of hooey, that you didn't get your smoke break, and you know that you heard something sort of in passing, and maybe ramped that up and made it more specific and more egregious than it really was, mm-hmm. this doesn't deserve a retrial if that's proven.
Yeah, and the other question would be, you know, how much did this influence anybody? I mean, I guess anyone could say, yes, I was influenced. But if at the end of the day, even those jurors who we've not heard from yet, if we do have that hearing, that's going to be a question. The question will be, you know, how much did any comments you heard from Becky Hill affect your decision? Even if they all say no, but if it's somehow recognized that she did make those comments, what do you do with that? I mean, do you say, well, they said it didn't affect their judgment, but we all know, I mean, anything that any piece of information that comes towards us, it's information that our mind's going to process that could, may or may not affect our decision-making.
I think it's very problematic if those statements that we have heard were made. Mm-hmm. I think it's just very problematic because, as you said, they can say all they want, it didn't influence them, but did it really?
Yeah.
And so I, you know, as I've said, if truly those statements were made, and those were overheard by jurors who deliberated and who returned this verdict that's costing a man life in prison, I think that they would have to retry it if it's true what was said.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.